That was a joke too, but I told BJ, and I hope he'll hear this part. I told BJ when he asked me if I'd preach, I said, yeah. And I said, are you providing the message or I have to bring my own? And he said, you probably need to bring your own. So, well, that's an extra charge for that, but I don't mind. I thought that was pretty good. I figured y'all'd like it. Good evening. I think we're back on track here with I. Maybe, anyway. That's probably what it was. Probably what it was. I saw all that shiny glass over here. I like being able to laugh at church, don't y'all? I've been to churches where, and I know I've told y'all this before, but you tell them about somebody getting saved and they don't clap and everybody did, like, y'all know how you get in these places and you just feel the tension? You know what I mean? I mean, you could just feel it, like, yeah, it's hard to talk to somebody like that. Zach, you coming? You going to sing a song? Oh, no. Okay. Changed his mind. He was going to sing us a special, maybe next Sunday. If you will, turn with me. I've done made y'all laugh enough. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. Book of Matthew, chapter number 17. God laid this message on my heart a couple Sundays ago, and I got to preach it this morning at a church, and I tell y'all the same thing. It's really, I don't get to preach every Sunday, so it's kind of hard to bring something like this because it's really three sermons mixed into one. I really feel like it was meant for revival, but I just feel like God has just really pressed this on my heart. I feel like it's something that we can all use, something we can all apply in our lives. And I pray this evening that you came willing to accept whatever God's fixing to lay out for you. This is not my message, it's God's message. I feel like it's straight from Him. And I hope and pray that I don't make a mess out of it. So if you will stand, we're going to start chapter 17 and verse number 1. The title of the message is The Mountaintop, The Valley, and The Journey. The Mountaintop, The Valley, and The Journey. Verse number 1, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud, which said, This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Verse 7, And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for this opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be in this church, allowing me to be behind this sacred desk, Father God. I pray right now, Father, that you just come into our midst. Fill this place with your Holy Ghost, Father. Lord, I pray you take complete control of this service. I pray, Father God, that you just use my mouth as your mouthpiece. Let not I be seen, but you be seen, Father God. Lord, I pray that you just take this mess that I've got jotted down here in these notes and make a message out of it, and that we can all take it into this lost and dying world and preach it into the highways and the hedges. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to forgive us all where we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The mountaintop, the valley, and the journey. We all love the mountaintop. It's something that most everybody longs for. We get in a valley, we get in a trench, we get in a ditch, we get in a low spot, and we're constantly looking to get back on the mountaintop where we've been before. On the mountaintop, we have powerful services, seasons where prayers are answered, where you feel like prayers are being heard. When you can feel God's presence in obvious, you know what I mean? Where you can just feel like God is there. You feel like it's almost like heaven and earth has collided. You feel God's presence on the mountaintop. It's easy to get caught up in those moments. It's easy for each and every one of us to get caught up in the fact of good times. We reflect on good times. We get caught up when things are going good. It's the reason why when we hit a bump in the road, it's hard for us to transition. You know what I mean? It's hard for us to understand that the mountaintop is not a place of residence, but a place of revelation. That's the first subject tonight. The mountaintop is a place of revelation, not a place of residence. We're not meant to stay on the mountaintop. We're not meant to just sit there and dwell. We're not meant to get there and just hang out. We're not meant to. It's not big enough for everybody just to be on top of the mountain. We can go on and say, it's not where we're supposed to stay, but Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus transfigured. I looked up a Google definition of transfigured, tried to figure out exactly what it was, and it said that it was a spiritual being. I didn't write it down because it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but it was spiritual. It was a spiritual experience for all three of them. To be able to see Jesus in a different form, to be able to see him in a light where he is illuminated and just awestruck. And when a Moses and Elijah appeared in verse number 4, then Peter then answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He was happy to be on the mountaintop. He was happy to be there. He was excited to be there. He was so excited, in fact, he was ready to build tabernacles and just stay at that place. But just a few, Peter was so overwhelmed with it that I'm sure that it was an awesome experience. Anytime that you have a prayer answered, anytime you see something actually happen, something that comes through with, you've been praying for this to happen or that to happen, you've been praying for this door to open or that wall to break or chains to fall off or whatever it might be, when you see that prayer answered, it's an experience. Most of the time, if you haven't had one answered in a while, it's kind of like, oh, amen? Maybe I'm the only one, but you know, when you've been in a valley long enough and you hadn't really seen a whole lot going on, and then all of a sudden, bam, it breaks through. And what you've been praying for, what you've been going through, you've been going through it for months and months and months, and then bam, it's gone. On that 41st day, just like the Israelites coming through the wilderness. They went through the wilderness for so long, and then now they're out of it. It's a spiritual and an awesome experience. And so Peter was wanting to stay there. But God quickly reminded them in verse number 9. And Jesus came, and then they came down from the mountain. Verse number 9, once he started talking about, let's build a tabernacle, let's stay here for a minute, Jesus. I need to dwell in this place for a minute. I want to be in your presence. Jesus quickly reminded them, no, there's work to be done down at the foot of the hill. You can't stay in the mountaintop. I keep saying in the mountaintop. I don't think you can be in a mountaintop. I'm not real sure. But anyways, David laughed at that one. Everybody else should have too. But they wanted to stay on the mountaintop. But Jesus quickly reminded them that this is not the place for you to reside. It's simply just a stopping point. Verse 14, and this is the reason why they had to come down, and the reason why we can't stay on a mountaintop. And when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. They immediately come off of a high, off of a mountaintop, off of a seeing Jesus transfigured, straight back into the job that has to be done. We can't stay on a mountaintop because it's time to work. We can't just stay up there. We can't just keep dwelling and thinking, well, we can just stay here where it's easy. And as a church body and as a church building a building and doing this and doing that and growing this, and we've got to work. We can't just stay dwelling in this building. We can't just stay dwelling in the fact that the church has grown. We can't just keep staying right there and meditating or gloating in the fact that something good has happened. We've got to keep moving. And that's the reason why we see valleys and we climb back out, and because we can't stay in this place. The reason why, let me say this. The chances are, if we took a poll, if I plastered around some paper and we took a hat and it was a yes or no poll, and you could say whether you was in the valley or on a mountaintop, chances are well over half of the church, I would say, half of the people sitting here would say that you was in a valley. Most everybody here would say you was in the valley, and there's a reason. We can't all fit on a mountaintop. We can't all be on the mountaintop. The mountaintop isn't big enough for all of us. I got to thinking about it and realized that I believe there's two other mountains, if you want to be technical about it. I don't know their names. Y'all can go look it up, correct me later. But Mount Everest. Everybody knows Mount Everest, right? It's the highest point in the world, I think. It's going to be the highest point in the world right now. But it's the highest point. This is my sermon. It's the highest point in the world, okay? I would say I'm the highest point in the room, but Brian wanted to beat me. But it's the highest point in the world. It's the biggest mountain that I know of, okay? And at the base of this mountain, it is somewhere in the neighborhood of 43 to 50 miles wide. But at the top of it, at its peak, it's only about as big as a table, a dining room table. They said roughly 7 to 8 people could fit on it, like a dining room table. There's a whole lot more work to be done at the base of the mountain than there is at the mountaintop, church. There's a whole lot more room for things to be going on. We can't all be on the mountaintop. We can't all be sitting up here doing nothing when there's so much broad space to be going over at the foot of the hill. One thing that we have to remember when you get on the mountaintop, which I know, in times like I don't know about y'all, but it seems like mountaintops are hard to come by sometimes. You got to take your victories when you can. Sickness and heartache and pain and everything else that could come, comes. Everything else that could detour us from being on a mountaintop is there. Adversity happens. So we have to not take the mountains and the victories, the mountaintops, for granted. But don't be discouraged when it fades. Those times are intended to reveal God's glory, for a break, but it's not a place to settle. Find strength from the mountaintop and be prepared for the challenges and callings on your life. The second thing that I felt like God just really was working on me here is the valley. It's something I feel like we can all relate to. Everybody knows what a valley is. If you ain't never been to the mountaintop, you've been in the valley. The mountain is where they saw Jesus' glory. The valley is where they were called to act. Peter, James, and John was called to do something in the valley. They came straight off the mountaintop and they had a job to do. And I'm telling you tonight, church, that we have a job to do. I don't know if it's just hold the door, or if it's preach this message, or if it's just pray for somebody, end of the road ministry, the wooden crosses. I don't know what your job is. It's for you to find out, but we have a job to do. And you don't know why I know for sure our job ain't finished? Is there still seats left open in this church tonight? It might have been full this morning, but it's not tonight. There's still things to do. There's still people to be saved. There's still people that haven't heard the good news. We have to take what we see, feel, and learn on the mountaintop into the valley with us. To spread God's word. Taking what you got from the mountaintop is taking it into the valley where there's suffering, there's brokenness, in the world full of sin. Once we get in a valley, there's things that have to be done. Everybody wants to be a team player until it's time to be a team player. Everybody wants to go to heaven until it's time to do the things to get to, you know what I mean? The things that we have to do to prepare ourselves for what we're looking for are in the valley. You won't never be told anything on a mountaintop. I used an analogy this morning. If there was a tire that needed to be changed out here in the parking lot, when we leave this church, most of the men from the church is going to go out here. Most men. Some of you probably leave because there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, right? But we're going to go out here, we're going to change this tire. And I'm trying to tell David, hey man, you need to do this another way. You can do this. And it ain't going to work. And he just keeps on. And then Austin gets over there and he tries. And I'm like, Austin, you can do it like this right here. That ain't going to work. And now we've done exhausted all. Kevin ain't here, we'd get done a little quicker. Jake would be one of them to leave. But Jake said, I'll change the tires tomorrow. But we've done exhausted all options. And then finally somebody tries my idea or everybody get whatever. Y'all wouldn't be able to tell me nothing about changing the tire. You hear me? I'd give David a hard time every time I got a microphone then. You know what I mean? I can change tire. David can't. You can't be told nothing on the mountaintop. You're not going to learn on the mountaintop. You're not. But you learn lessons in the valley. The valley is where your ministry started. Your ministry didn't start when everything was good and hunky-dory and the bills were all paid and the bank wasn't calling. You didn't start your ministry. If you did, don't raise your hand, okay? But you didn't start your ministry on a mountaintop. Some ministries started in jail. Some of them started in rehab. Some of them started during a divorce. Some of them started during hospital stays or bad, when you got bad news from a doctor. During funerals and death. Y'all have heard me tell my testimony. Mine started in the woods. I'd left church, you know. Mine literally started in the woods, knelt down in a mud hole. And you've heard BJ say it before. I know that that's when it started because there was a line drawn in my life. You can look back through the timeline, and anybody that knew me prior to will tell you they may not know the time and they may not know the day was July the 17th, but they can tell you that sometime before Bradley's wreck around around 2011, there was a change it made in his life. And if they can't, then I've done something wrong. Your ministry doesn't start on a mountaintop. It starts in the valley. Your ministry can't start on a mountaintop because you can't be told nothing. I don't know not one soul that ever got saved smiling ear to ear when the conviction hit them. Ministry happens in the valley. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't have a story until they come out of the fire. Paul wasn't even Paul until he got blinded on Damascus Road. Your ministry starts in the valley. You're lost in the valley. This evening, I want you to know that you may be in a valley. You may be in a valley. But if you're saved, even though I might not know, the person sitting beside you might not know, the person you've got your arm around might not know, nobody else may know what your valley is, but Jesus does. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. But He did say He'd join you in the fire. Your ministry starts in the valley. I wasn't on a mountaintop. I was lost, confused, broken. There was so much bad stuff going on in my life that I didn't even realize. Prayer warriors ain't made on the mountaintop. Most of us forget to pray on the mountaintop, Brother Tony. When everything's going good, you don't need Jesus. When everything's going good, you ain't calling saying, "Hey man, I need you to pray for me about this right here." But you get that bad doctor report, you're picking up the phone calling somebody. You just found out that this happened or that happened or lost a job. We got to call somebody. Prayer warriors wasn't made on a mountaintop. Disciples were not made on a mountaintop. And testimonies don't come from the mountaintop. You can sing them out up there, but they aren't made up there. They come from being broken and the suffering. And they come from what you've made it through the valley. The valley is where you'll tell about the good times and the mountaintop. And it's where you remember and you strive to be back to the mountaintop to get through hard times. But the valley is where your ministry starts. But the last thing tonight, and I feel like this is something that we can all relate to. If you didn't get nothing else I said, I feel like this last part right here is probably for you. But The last thing that I felt like God was giving me is the journey. The journey between the two. Brother Whooper said something, and I'm going to use it. You go somewhere. Anyways, Brother Whooper said something the other day in Sunday school, and I'm going to use it here in a minute. But the journey will build and refine you. Through your journey as a Christian and doing things and what God's called you to do, you'll be built and refined. The journey is what shapes our faith. Without the journey and seeing the progress and seeing where you've made it to, you have no faith. It's between places of waiting, testing, and even disappointment that refines our character. And the journey will deepen your relationship with God. The journey will make you dig into this. And if you're going through the journey and you're not digging into this, then you're going backwards. If you're going through the journey without this, you're going backwards. This is your progress. Lost or saved, this is your progress. Jesus is your progress. The cross is your goal. You know, when you get to the end of a place, you've done went a long ways. I don't know. Maybe from here to that door. Brother Shay, I sang you and made me think of this. I used to coon hunt. Can't do it much now. It's, you know. But I can remember going into the thickets, and it seemed like it'd take 2 hours to get from here to that door. Seemed like it'd just take forever to get somewhere, trying to push through a briar thicket. You know what I mean? Or maybe something's going wrong, maybe something, whatever, and it just takes you forever to get to where you're going. And you feel like you've done traveled 20 miles and you've only been one. And this is what Brother Whooper said. I'm going to give him all the credit for it. If you travel 20 miles, you pass 40 miles worth of ditches. If you travel 20 miles, you pass 40 miles worth of ditches. And if you made it to where you're going, you ain't in the ditch. If you pass 1 mile, you got 2 miles worth of ditches. The journey is what shapes our faith. The journey is what made you you. I'm going to end you with this. Paul said in Philippians, I don't say that, and this is Bradley words, but I'm not saying I've laid a hold of it. But one thing I do is not looking back and looking forward to what lies ahead. Not worrying about those ditches we just passed back here. We're not worried about all the trials and tribulations we went at. We done passed that. Reaching forward to the goal. Reaching forward to the mountaintop. Reaching forward to where we're going. I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you this. In my life, I thank God for the mountaintops. But if it wasn't for what I've been through, I wouldn't be sitting here today. BJ said it Wednesday night. It's funny the way he said it. He said, I know Hushes. Ain't no Hush going to preach. Amen, brother. I know that's right. But Jesus does. Jesus can. I believe this. If you ain't heard nothing else, I believe this right here. You've been charged now. If you're on a mountaintop, the valley's coming. We're fixing to hit Monday on a work week. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't like no Mondays. I don't like most Fridays either. But anyways, it's just the industry I'm in. But as you go into this work week, if you've been on a mountaintop all weekend, you better be prepared. Don't get caught off guard tomorrow. Be prayed up tonight. If you've been in a valley all weekend, tomorrow's a new day. 12:01, His mercy renews every morning. If you've been in a mountain, if you've been in a valley all year, tomorrow's another day. You're batting 1,000 on beating every day that's behind you. You're winning every day that's behind you. No matter how much you think you lost, you still made it here today. You won. Keep plugging. And stop worrying about what's behind you and keep looking forward to what's ahead. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for this opportunity to be in your house. I ask you, Father God, that you just take this mess and turn it into a message, Father. I pray you just pour it out on hearts and lives, Father God. I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you touch each and every person here. I pray that they just have a good week in your name, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you start working on sickness. You start healing hearts and minds, and you just go with us in all that we do. Lord, I love you. I thank you. And I'm just praying right now that your will had been done in this place. And that when the lights are turned off, it's recorded in heaven, Father, that this church has done your will, Father God. Lord, I pray you go with us in all that we do. Lead, guide, direct us in all that we do. And just continue to pour out blessings on our families and this church, Lord. I love you and I thank you.